Hello, and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners in all stages of their running careers about their first marathon experiences to prove that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today's episode, we got to talk to the Queen of Chicago Running, whose first marathon and several marathons since then have been at the Chicago Marathon. I seriously would have sat and chatted about every race, but since she's ran quite a few, we talked about a few of her race experiences, some tips and tricks she's learned along the way, and how running has changed over time. After all, runners like to yap about running, and that's what this episode is. Without further ado, let's jump right in. Please welcome Cynthia. Cynthia, thank you so much for coming on the podcast this weekend. I was just telling you this before we started, but I've been following you for a while, so I'm really excited to get to know you a little bit more today.
Thank you. I'm excited too. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I know you've got several years of running on your belt, several marathons under your belt as well. But taking it way back to the beginning, where did we get involved with the running scene originally?
Well, of course, it was Chicago. My first marathon was the Chicago Marathon. And my boyfriend at the time, who, yes, became my husband, was like, let's do it. You know, let's do it. So I'm like, sure, let's do it. I don't know what I was doing. I didn't run with any training group. I just ran with him. We were winging it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He had run a marathon before, but he didn't know what he was doing either. So, I mean, it's so weird to just say you're going to do a marathon and then just run a bunch and then go run a marathon. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure.
So I remember him just, I see runners who run together and God bless them. You know what I mean? That's not my husband. That's not our relationship. It wasn't a competition, but he was faster than me. And I said, you go, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So he did. And I remember getting up in the mileage and just being like, oh my God, this will never end. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I live here now. And he came back, he got his medal. And he came running back to find me. And this was when some marathoners who've been running Chicago a lot remember this. This was when Chicago ran through the tunnel at McCormick Place. Like there was a very, oh God, I'm not going to think of the name of this runner now. There was a very famous moment in the Chicago Marathon course because the course is different now, but
yeah,
it used to run through that tunnel. And so the choppers would be in the air for the lead people. And they'd go in one way and come out the other. A lot of times the passing would happen at that mile at McCormick, and it was dark and they would put lights up in McCormick so you could see where you were running. And I was dying by the time I hit McCormick. But they don't run it that way anymore. So you'd run it up that way and up Lakeshore Drive. And I saw him coming and he had his medal, and I was just like, I'm finishing this race already.
Yeah, so close.
I did it. I finished it. He ran me in, but then, you know, didn't run through the finish line. Oh, I should have dug up that picture. I do have a picture. I got one picture dropped on me that I
Amazing.
Printed. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Because it was so long ago. It was before I had
right.
kids. I printed the picture, and like my hands are up, and I look like I'm pale and just done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that one was, I did that one in, I want to say I did it in 5 hours and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And that just to me seemed like a lot of running. You know what I mean? More
for
running
sure.
than I had ever done. Like, I don't think I had done a 20 miler to train for that. Like, I know I did not train the way I train now.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Gosh, that's just incredible that you got to run your first marathon at Chicago. I'm sure that was just insane, an insane first marathon environment.
For the longest time, that's the only marathon I knew. Like,
sure.
I have run Chicago 8 times, I think 8 times, pretty sure it's 8. Some of my medals, my brother framed, and so I'd have to go around and count them. But anyways, for the longest time, Chicago was the only marathon I knew. I was not a marathoner. It was just a Chicago thing to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me. Like, I was aware of Boston, but all the rest of them, just it didn't occur to me, hey, let's go run marathons in other places, you know?
Sure. Sure. Yeah. If you're local and it's one of the coolest marathons in the world, why not?
Right.
Just do it in your backyard.
I am very spoiled in this city. This is a running city. And that is a world-class marathon. So
yeah. Very cool. Cool. So Chicago was the first experience. And what was your relationship like with running pre-Chicago? I know you said you were kind of figuring things out, but had you ran a couple of half marathons or 10Ks or that was
nothing.
First race?
No. I mean, yeah. I had run 5Ks. 5Ks or social things were at that time for me. Like I ran, I don't even know if they still have this race. They used to have the Bastille Day 5K and they used to have the, I'm not going to think of it. There was a 5K that all of the businesses would send a team. And I was always on our company's team and it ran through downtown Chicago. And I always did the Shamrock Shuffle. I don't know if you're familiar with the Shamrock Shuffle.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic race. And Shamrock Shuffle, I don't know where that one got bought by the Chicago Marathon, but you run the start and the finish of the Chicago Marathon on that one. So if you aren't sure you want to run a marathon, but want to see what that experience is like, do the shuffle. I think it's an 8K and it's the team now that does the Chicago Marathon. So you get a big start line, you get a big finish line. It's in the same place as Chicago and they drop like 80 pictures on you. Like the whole sharpshooter team is out there taking pictures. It's a lot of fun. It's a great race.
That's great.
Did those kinds of little races before I did Chicago.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah. So definitely a massive jump from what you were
doing.
Massive
jump.
Yes,
I don't really know what I was thinking. I just, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be 30. Let's run a marathon. You know what I mean? It was that kind of a thing. You know, it was very much like, did you ever see the Will and Grace episode where she decided she was going to run a marathon? It's just
yes,
like,
I did. Yes.
You just declare it one day. I'm going to run the Chicago Marathon, you know?
And then no, it's your whole personality.
Yeah. No idea what that meant. So.
Sure. Yeah, that's insane. So from there, obviously, we knew that your running career has been long and is still going. But how did we get from first marathon to like catching the bug and running all of these other marathons?
Oh, man. So I ran it in like a 5:30. And I know there was more seconds on that time. It wasn't just 5:30 on the dot. But quite frankly, I cannot remember. But I ran like a 5:30. And then I thought, well, I can do better than that. So the next year I ran Chicago, I did a 5:05 ish. And I was like, I want to break five. So I did it again and I just kept whittling down that time, you know, but I did just keep doing it with Chicago. And then I had a big life change where I quit my job and I moved to Colorado to live with my brother for a while. And I was training for Chicago and training in elevation was something I didn't know a lot about, but I trained with a really fast run club. I was always chasing these people, you know?
Sure.
So when I came back for Chicago, I had the boost of being in that high elevation and then coming back here. And also that I had been chasing very fast people for the entire summer. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Sure.
They were faster than me. And they were crazy people because they would jump fences in order to get to the track. Like they didn't have permission to use the track. So they just get there or we'd meet in the parking lot early and they were literally climbing fences to get onto the track. And I'm climbing fences with crazy fast people. So that year in Chicago, I ran a 4:04 and that I was like, okay, I'm going to run Boston, which no, you're not. But I thought I could try to run Boston. And that was a goal. I've never come even close to that 4:04 again. I don't know if it was a time in my life or if it was the elevation change. Like, I don't know what magic there was in the air that day, but that was the best that I'd ever run. So then I signed up for the St. George Marathon because people were like, that's a fast marathon. I had a terrible day at St. George. And I ran like a 4:45. And it's funny because I look back at times now, you know, and I'm like, I would steal something to get that time. That 4:45 I had in the St. George Marathon.
Great.
I would pay money for that now. You know what I mean?
Like, for sure. Yeah.
Because your running it's not a linear thing, you know?
Yeah.
So after that, I took a giant break. After St. George, I was like, because St. George was hard to train for. It rained in Chicago on every long run I did. By that time, I knew what I was doing. I was training with a group. I had many marathons under my belt, but that marathon in particular, where I thought I could qualify for Boston, every long run was a rainy, cold Chicago day. Mm. And I swear I was just like, Mother Nature hates me.
Yeah.
And then Then when I got to St. George, it was a rare occasion that it was pouring down rain for that entire marathon. And I just was like, I am done. I am hanging up the running shoes. I am done. Yeah. And my kids were little. So, you know, it was easy to just pivot to parenting and not do that
sure.
for a while, you know?
Sure. And what time of year was St. George? Like, was it not normal, not usual for that time of year for it to be raining like that?
That's a great question. I don't remember when this, I'm going to use my phone. Can I use my phone for a moment and Google that?
For sure. For sure.
Because I don't remember and I don't want to say it wrong, but I remember it being just so wet. I mean, it must have been sometime in the spring because it was so wet in Chicago when I was training, you know?
Yeah. That's what I was wondering is like, yeah, if your training block was so miserable.
I feel like I was running in the spring rain in Chicago.
Yeah.
Marathon. When is that? Saturday, October 4th is the, yeah, it was in the fall.
Okay.
So I ran all summer. It must have been a rainy summer in Chicago.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. I ran in so much rain. I just remember standing under bridges and viaducts and being just like, oh my God, this is ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
But you got to run. You got to run in it. So I'm like, what if it's raining on race day? Yeah. Famous last words. It was raining on race day.
He maybe spoke that one into existence a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I hung it up after that for a while.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Yeah. And in those moments, like those training blocks, I'm sure you've had more than just the one training block where you're like, I can't catch a freaking break here. In those training blocks, like what do you tell yourself or what do you say to yourself to keep yourself motivated to get through the thing?
Motivation is a weird word for me because I have an Italian heritage, so I am stubborn and I just don't, it doesn't occur to me to just not do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, if I don't do it, I'm going to freak out because I didn't get that run in. Like if I miss a run, I'm like, oh my God, it's all going to come tumbling down and I won't be ready. Like you can't cram for a marathon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I'm always afraid if I push that run, it's going to throw everything off. It's like a domino effect. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
So I guess what you could say is I'm neurotic and I freak out about everything. So rather than not run in the rain and then freak out about everything, I'll just run in the rain and then I don't have to freak out. Like,
gotcha.
That's
yeah.
not really motivation though, is it?
No, but you know, it reminds me of that quote. I hear it all the time. I feel like it's a big, big runner quote right now of you can't always rely on motivation, but you can always rely on discipline. I feel like that's just another form of discipline. You know what I mean?
I am mad disciplined. Like if you, follow me on TikTok, you know, I'm a clock. Like I'm going to be on the run path on a Monday. I'm going to get my long run in on a Saturday. Like I am a clock.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's great. Cause you can't, like we said, we can't always rely on ourselves to be motivated and a training block. I mean, let's be real. Half the runs, would you say maybe more than half? You probably aren't going to want to go on, especially depending on the time of the year.
And they're not great. I just had a run this morning. I wanted to do, because I came off of Berlin and I knew I got into New York, just luck of the draw. I could not believe I got into New York. And I was like, oh my God, that means I have to run New York. I didn't do a 20 miler on 20 miler day, which was last weekend, because I just didn't feel like my legs were ready coming out of Berlin because I'd run Berlin the week before. So I said, okay, if my legs feel good, I'm going to do 15 miles on tired legs and just go easy. So that I did 15 miles last weekend. Then I got my wave assignment and I was like, I go out at 11:30 and that freaked me out. So I was like, I'm going to mock that day. And that's what I did today. So I did another 15 miles. And then that I'm in Tabertown now, but those runs, you think they should feel good, easy.
Yeah.
Nothing ever feels easy. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't hurt. It's not painful. But it's not easy. I tell myself easy runs all the time. Like I'm going to trick my brain into thinking it's easy and it never is. I don't know.
No, 100% agree. Yeah, it's and you're right. It's the ones that you expect to be easy that I feel like are the ones that end up being the hardest too.
Yeah,
where they're your confirmation of I can run this marathon, the 20 miler. I'm doing this for my mental state. I'm going to practice everything correctly. I'm going to wear all my gear, my race, everything, and then something feels off, and that's tough mentally to have that sort of run before a marathon. I know we just talked about you being a very disciplined, very neurotic about certain things, so that maybe this doesn't impact you as much, but like, when you have a bad run for maybe your last run before taper or something like that, like how do you stay on track? How do you keep moving forward?
Oh, I mean, I tag the base. As long as I tag the base, I'm not going to sweat it. Plus, what I wanted to do for those last two 15 milers was just, I know I can do the distance. I know I can get to mile 15, and then that's where the battle's going to start. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I know I can, and I know I can do the distance. I've done it many times, but it's never easy. And, you know, you always start arguing with yourself, you know, like, oh my God, I have 11 more miles to go. You know what I mean? It's like, how am I going to do this? I try to break it up. I try to break it up in the 10, 10, 10, first 10 miles, second 10 miles, last 10K. You know what I mean? But always you get up around 17 miles in and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And then you start bargaining with yourself, you know?
That's where that runner's math really kicks in, is right around those miles for sure.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, running all these world majors too. So you've ran five, is that right? Five world majors?
I have run five. Berlin was my fifth. Yeah.
Cool. So which one are we missing? Tokyo? I feel like that's always the hardest one.
I'm missing Tokyo. And I have my little, you know, because I applied to the general. I didn't get in. I missed charity, and I may try that in 2026 if I don't get in, but I applied for the general. I didn't get in. I know people who did get in on the general. I'm so jealous, very excited for them, but jealous.
Yes.
So Abbott, if you're part of their dashboard, like if you just put your name in their little, you know, they intake all of your majors, right? And they give you your star count. So I ran a half marathon. Oh, it was last weekend. It was when I did my 15 miler. It counted towards it. So I ran with their run club that Abbott has. And that got me an extra entry into any major I wanted. And I wanted Tokyo. So I'm in an extra ballot for Tokyo now. And I'll find out like mid-November if I got in. And
they have
a second chance lottery after that one too. So I have two other draws to get in through Abbott, because the majors designate bibs to Abbott to give people who are on the star journey who have a, like for the Tokyo one, you had to have five, which I do. I got in on a second chance lottery with London. You had to have three, which I did.
Mm.
So, you know what I mean? Like Abbott, you get extra chances with them. So anybody who is chasing that six star dream, get in that portal with Abbott, because you get other opportunities to try to get into the races that you don't have yet.
Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's cool. I always wondered.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you would expect them to do something for people who are serious about going after six stars for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got lucky with London and got in on their second chance lottery. And then I had already signed up for Berlin when I got into London. I had signed up for Berlin with a tour group. So I knew I was getting Berlin. London was a pleasant surprise. So then it was like, oh, by the way, you've got, you know, five stars, because London was going to be my fourth. And then I had Berlin. I mean, Berlin was going to be my fourth, but then I got London and London went first. So
yeah,
Tokyo's the one. Fingers crossed.
I'll be looking out for it for sure. But I'm curious, like, was the six world majors always the goal? You started with Chicago, so you knocked out a star right away.
Mm-mm.
When did that start to kind of creep its way into your goal list?
I will tell you, it never occurred to me to do the six star journey, because I never thought I could get into Boston. Like after that 404, I just never thought Boston would happen. And coming out of the pandemic, I started TikTok, and everyone started running during the pandemic because everything was closed. But the lakefront was closed too. So there was a handful of us runners who were just jumping the fences where the lakefront was closed. Do you know what I'm saying? And bandit running on the lakefront. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was TikToking and running and grumbling all the time. But Amazon, coming out of the pandemic in 2022, it was the 50th anniversary of women being able to run the Boston Marathon, because everybody knows the story of the first woman to hop on the course and run the Boston Marathon. You've all seen that famous picture.
Yeah.
I can't remember that guy's name, the course director who was trying to elbow her off the course.
Yeah.
And the men are defending her, and it's actually kind of a violent picture. So it was the 50th anniversary of women being able to run the Boston Marathon. And at that time, Amazon was a sponsor, and they were putting together a team of women runners who were going to run, you know, and document their story on the social channels that they were on. I want to say there were 9 of us. I was absolutely floored to get the opportunity. The email came in and I read that and I was like, what?
Wow.
And I said to my husband, am I running the Boston Marathon? Is that what this email says? And he's like, yeah, I think you're running the Boston Marathon. I had 8 weeks to train, and I was not training for a marathon. Do you know what I mean?
Crazy.
I had 8 weeks. I, at that time, was training to break a 2-hour half. That was my goal. So I was running and I was training, but I only had halves in my sight. Like, marathons were off my radar completely. But
sure.
Boston came along and I was like, oh, yes, I will take this opportunity, because that's never coming back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I went to Boston and I was scared to death, because I did do a 20 miler. Like, I upped my mileage immediately. I only had 8 weeks to train, though. When you have 8 weeks to train, you also have to taper. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
you really only have 5, right?
Yeah, 5 or 6. Yeah.
So when I got Boston, and I did, I towed up to that start line. I had a late start on that one too. I was the last wave for Boston. And I crossed that finish line in 5 hours, and I was like, yes. And I got the medal. Like, everything was still there, because I was so scared that, like, the crowds would be gone and that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you worry about that stuff. So then I was like, okay, I've got 2 stars, and the hardest one, I have it. You know what I mean? So then I was off to the races. I was like, okay, what am I doing next? You know?
Sure.
And that's what started me on the whole path.
Cool. So Boston really kickstarted everything for you
from
a star standpoint.
Boston, getting that Boston Marathon was what pushed me back into marathoning, you know?
Cool. That's what I was going to ask. So this was after that long hiatus of marathoning.
Yeah.
Cool.
I had run a marathon.
Seems like divine intervention. Did it just push you right back into it?
It was crazy. And I was only training for halves, and I don't even remember what halves I was doing now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just remember the goal at that time was to break a 2-hour half. I thought, well, if I chunk it and figure that out, you know, that's what I'll do. And I think my halftime at that time, that 04 is a number that just kind of hangs for me, because I was at a 2:04 half.
Mm.
So, you know, I was trying to shave 4 minutes off, just like I was for the marathon when I ran the 4:04. So, I took that Boston opportunity very seriously. There was no way I was going to DNF that race, but Boston is a fast. When I say a fast course, what I mean is that I want to say they give you 6.5 hours, but they may have just changed that too. From the time the last runner crosses the start line, you have a clock ticking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I had no idea what I was capable of doing, because it had been so long since I had run a marathon. So I was going to get that time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, because I didn't know if that opportunity would ever come around again. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm walking to this finish if I have to.
Oh, but I'm walking fast. You know what I'm saying?
Like, got to move.
I need the timers to be up. Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. And I was blown away, because it was so different than how marathoning was before. Like, when I ran Boston in 2022, it's the pageantry now. Do you know what I'm saying? The start lines, the finish lines, the photos, the expos. Like, wasn't like that when I ran my first marathon. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, you show up, you run the race. It wasn't a big deal the way they are now. And the majors are like nothing I've ever seen. They're like, Boston blew me away. It was like the church of running. Everything in that town shows up for that marathon, like absolutely everything. And that expo was massive, and there were so many fast people there. so many runners, and everybody, like women and men, had unicorn horns on. Do you know what I'm saying? Like people dressed up. They had their outfits, like they had their names on their shirts. Like this was all new. You know what I'm saying? This was not what marathoning looked like when I hung up my shoes after that St. George. So it's very different now.
Yeah. I guess I'm curious then, like, what, since you've had both, been able to see both sides of the experience, and maybe not just talking about world majors, but just all the races that you've ran, what are some things that you've liked about how running has changed? And maybe what are some things that you've been like, whoa, we're, I think this is getting a little bit crazy.
You know what I'm going to say? If I don't get a jacket and a medal, I'm not happy. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I 100% agree.
I love me some swag. I'm wearing the, I'm wearing the Abbott World Marathon Major hoodie that I got in London, but they're at every World Major. It's got, you can't tell, but it's got all the majors on the back.
Cool.
I love me some swag. I love me some expo hype. You know what I mean? It, and all of them are different. But I'm an addict. Like, people are trying to get me to run, not trying to get friends in the running community. Like, you should do an ultra. And I'm like, I don't get a jacket with an ultra. Like, what, you're running for a belt buckle. What? Like, no, I need a jacket and I need a medal, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that it is a big deal and they make a big deal out of it. I love all of it. I do think, and I don't want to dirt my hometown race, but I just came off of Berlin. And I have a lot of friends who just came off of Chicago. I volunteered at Chicago's and I watched, I was there until they started picking up the course. Do you know what I mean? Like, all day. I think 50,000 runners might be too many runners on the course. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Berlin had 54,200 and I think 43 finishers. And usually when I'm in running a marathon, there's a point where I can zone out. You know what I mean? Like, you can just kind of zone out. I never could zone out in Berlin. And everyone else I know who ran it said the same thing. There was jostling and there were people around you and you had to really pay attention because it was so packed.
Right.
And the streets, I don't think, in Berlin are as wide as they are in Chicago. So it felt very like, just, it was very crowded. If you see, I think I posted my finish line photos. It is
packed. So it looked packed. Crazy. Yeah.
It was packed. That was the finish. We all ran 26.2 miles. You know what I mean?
Insane.
And it was packed. So I think that there is a maximum capacity that has been reached here that maybe they should think about. I don't know if they will. I know that Chicago had 51,000 something finishers. It was over 50. And I heard a lot of runners who I follow on TikTok who were like, they were getting elbowed and they were getting jostled and, you know, nobody could really. And I also think there was a frenzy in Chicago because Boston had just changed their qualifying times.
Right.
So people who had been training to get their BQ at this number now needed to be 5 minutes faster than what they were training to beat. And so I think it was a frenzy on top of the fact that it was the most runners they'd ever had on the Chicago Marathon course. And it's just, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the answer is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I would never want to prevent anyone from having their moment and being able to run that race. You know what I mean? Any of those races, but 50,000 is a lot of runners. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't ran a world major myself. I've talked to several of you on the podcast that have, so I think I have a pretty good picture of what it's like. But when you're in those crowds, I would imagine, and you're saying you have to pay such close attention, I would imagine that takes a lot out of you mentally too, no?
Oh,
compared to other marathons. Yeah.
Yeah. It's exhausting. Berlin's a beautiful course. It's a world-class marathon. But it was exhausting. You know, I remember towards the end, I was around mile 24 and I just like, where is the Brandenburg Gate? Where is the gate? Every time we turned, I'm like, there's no gate. Like,
they lied.
Brandenburg Gate off in the distance. At least I would know, you know, because it was just, It was chaos. The aid stations were chaos. Like, you were running and they had Morton stations. And I don't really know if people were just gulping their Mortons and dropping them, but it was like running on flypaper through the Morton stations. Like, your shoes were sticking to the ground. I've never ran like that before. And it was just, it was a lot, you know?
Sure. Yeah, that's just insane. I haven't talked to anybody that's ran Berlin, so I'm super curious about that one in particular. What's it like compared to some of the other majors in terms of like crowd energy, crowd
support?
Okay,
so here's the thing. I think running an international marathon is next level, okay? Berlin was my second international marathon because I did London because Abbott did their second chance lottery and I got lucky. But Berlin, it's a great city. Their expo is at like an old airport, which is pretty cool. It's Adidas. It's fantastic. And it's funny because they all call it Adidas, which my son and I just laughed and laughed.
Yeah.
I would say it's a great experience. Like, if anyone gets the opportunity to go do Berlin, I would say do it. The public transportation was super easy. We never had trouble getting around. I did do it with a tour group, which I do recommend that as well. I did it with Sports Tours International, and they get you to the expo. You know what I mean?
Because that's helpful.
It's helpful, right? Because I've never been to Berlin, right? So I got to the hotel, and they just had a lovely little table. Sam was there. Hi, you know, Sam from Sports Tours. And they just had a whiteboard and they wrote everything down that was happening that day. And it was a no-brainer. The hotel had proximity to the start and finish line. And they got us there on marathon day. They got us to the expo. We went to a German beer hall as a marathon after party, which was fantastic.
Yeah. Wait,
it's like what it had a whole like smorgasbord of food, and they had like pretzels on pegs, hanging on pegs. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's awesome.
Which is what you expect, right?
Yeah.
And there was a band playing silly instruments and they were dancing, and it was exactly what you wanted, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, the Berlin Marathon itself, it's a flat course. I think if it hadn't been so packed, I probably would have felt better in the final miles. I noticed it was like we were heading kind of on a decline into the finish line, which was very nice. Doesn't happen very often. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
there was no real rolling hill environment going on, and it was a good course. You see a lot of landmarks along the way, and the crowd was great. Like it was a great race. It just was a lot of runners.
Sure. Yeah, that's got to be tricky. But, you know, if you're going to go internationally and you're going to run a race outside of the US, like, I guess at least you can go big and do something like Berlin, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. I don't really understand these tour groups. Like, they can sell bibs to certain people, but not other people. Like, us in the States, we can't buy a bib for Boston, New York, or Chicago because they can't sell to people in the United States. But this is where it gets weird. You could buy a bib for London with a tour group and Berlin with a tour group from the United States.
Sure.
But for reasons that make no sense to me, Tokyo's off the list for us. I don't understand it. And I'm sure there are other tour groups that maybe can, because I would do Tokyo with a tour group if I could, because I have no business trying to navigate Tokyo, right?
Like,
please someone take the wheel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. But it's weird. There's weird regulations, and I don't know who's setting these regulations. Like, I don't know if it's the major who says that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why with certain tour groups you can only buy certain packages to certain races.
They do make it complicated.
Yeah, it's weird.
I guess if they made it easy, maybe we would not solve the issue of having so many runners run it. But it still seems like overly complicated for
it.
We don't know why.
I'm sorry. I would like to take a tour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I was talking to a woman from Australia who was on the train heading to the expo with us with Sports Tours International. And she was telling me how she wanted to run Boston, and she can get a Boston bib through them. But like, she said something about you have to have done, like, in order to be eligible for the Boston bib, she had to do five other tours, five other marathon packages with them. Do you know what I'm saying? So everyone wants that bib is what I'm saying. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's not easy to get is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I guess good that you got to check it off the list and it's done and dusted.
I'm well aware of how lucky I was. I mean, totally.
Yeah. That's great. Are there any I guess outside of world majors, are there any marathons that you've ran that you've been particularly partial to? Like you would suggest somebody else running it as well?
I've done a couple small marathons. I did the Starved Rock Marathon in downstate Illinois, but I didn't do it under my name. Now, I was not a bandit, okay? So, because I know that is frowned upon. But my neighbor, who is mad fast, had a bib for the Starved Rock Marathon, and she came up injured. And she said, hey, do you want to run it? And this was coming off of my terrible Miami Marathon. And so I really wanted a redemption run, and I was trained up, you know? So I ran the Starved Rock Marathon as my neighbor, Julie. But smaller races are, I think there's an opportunity if you're looking for a BQ to go with some of these smaller races. I want to say there was 2,500 runners, like max, you know? You don't get the crowd as much, but I feel like there's a lot less stress and pressure, you know?
Yeah, like, totally agree.
You're not queuing up to a 50-minute porta potty line. You're not, you know what I mean? Like, you're not fighting 50,000 other runners along the course. Like, I say if you've only done majors, doing a smaller local race would be something that would be a good experience. I also ran a local race this summer up in Michigan, the Mish Waterfront Marathon. And it was just they're smaller races. Also, you place in your age group. Granted, there were two people in my age group, but I got first.
No one needs to know.
I won.
That's amazing. So,
yeah. The smaller races, I think there's a whole different vibe going on. It's much easier. Everything isn't a big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I think especially for your first marathon, like the logistics of running a world major for your first or even your second, when you're just dipping your toes into this world, like that can be added stress that you might not need when you're looking to run your first marathon.
I mean, when I ran the Mish Marathon, the hotel and the start and finish line were like literally outside my door. So I just used my hotel bathroom until I was ready to go down and stand on the start line. And then 5 minutes later, we were off.
You can't ask for anything better than that. That's amazing.
The best thing ever. Like, yeah. I highly recommend your own personal bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. Cause those lines, even at some of the local ones where I feel just less porta potties at the local ones. So the lines still end up being super long, but
quite frankly, I saw a lot of TikToks of people complaining about the porta potty situation for Chicago. And I was like, they have so many. I don't know what else they can do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know where they could put more porta potties. Right. I don't know how to fix that problem. Maybe 50,000 runners is too many. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's tough. That's like we said, it's just a tough call because I don't have a solution. It just seems it's getting out of hand.
I do the ritual. I stand in the line. I go to the bathroom. I come out. I go to the back and I do it again. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, sure. I do it twice. But you can't do it twice if it's a 50-minute line, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Definitely the local marathons, that even if it's right outside your hotel room, that just is a lot less stress that you need on race day for sure.
Absolutely.
Are there any other like tricks that you've learned over time with maybe running like a local marathon or anything like that, that you've been able to apply to other races?
Oh, wow. Tricks, tips. No, the marathons are hard. If I had a tip or a trick, I would use it. I One thing I always, I tend to get nervous, and I got really nervous for Berlin, and I'm not really sure why. But I try to tell myself, no matter what happens, I'm not going to win this race. So yeah. I don't need to be so stressed out about this. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go, I'm going to have fun, I'm going to keep moving forward. And if I have to walk, I'll walk. And I did, I had to walk a little bit in Berlin. And I don't, there's just no when to stop being so hard on yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, just do what your body needs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. And listening to your body too, like you said, you're not, most of us are not planning on winning. Most of us have our own goals that we've set up for
exactly.
ourselves. So, and then we talk a lot about ABC goals. How much do you think about ABC goals when you're thinking about a marathon?
It depends on the course. Mm-hmm. For Chicago, last year I ran it and I wanted to break 5 hours because I hadn't broken 5 hours in quite some time. And I did. And I, that was it. But if I didn't do that, I wasn't going to be mad. You know what I mean? It was just, yeah. That was the goal. I don't really do BC goals. Cause I feel like the C goal is always finish the race. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And here's the thing, like I ran Chicago after the 404, after St. George, and, I got a 440 and I was mad about that one because I knew I could do that race faster at that time. But then I realized the only person who cared about my target was like 19 minutes faster than that 440. The only person that cared about those 19 minutes was me.
Yeah.
Literally the only person that cared. Everyone else was like, you ran a marathon. Congratulations. You know what I'm saying? You got a marathon. No one cared. So I would say, I know that there are a lot of fast runners who are trying to sub 3 and trying to sub 4. And I do understand that is a serious undertaking. So I don't want to belittle that. But I do want to say you do have to give yourself the kudos that you deserve when you finish a marathon. You
really Absolutely.
Can. You know what I mean? Don't be mad at yourself.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you might be disappointed and you might have to kind of reframe or reshift the goals, but absolutely, you have to celebrate that.
It's okay to be disappointed, but yes, it's also very important to celebrate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, how do you go about setting, I'm sure with each race, when you're picking a marathon to run, I'm sure that the goals shift a little bit. So how do you kind of like decide what your next goal is going to be for the next marathon?
Well, I told you, I got into New York, sheer luck of the draw.
Yeah.
I ran New York last year with a charity. I threw my hat in the ring for New York just because New York was a whirlwind. And I feel like everything went by so fast, I missed the whole thing. You know what I mean? It was just,
yeah.
So I threw my hat in the ring, not for one second expecting to get in. And I got in on the general lottery. Like, what? I think 2% of the entries got in.
Something
I was the 2%. I was like, oh my God, but now I have to run it. So for New York this time around, knowing what I know about the course, I'm not putting any time pressure on myself. It's a hard course. Some folks say it's harder than Boston. Boston was hard. Boston was rolling hills. I've never seen anything like the Newton Hills. Like I felt like a tiny little person at the bottom of a ski hill looking up like the most outrageous hills I've ever seen when I got to the Newton Hills.
Yeah.
But the bridges in New York are no joke, and the Verrazano Bridge looms large as a start line. So for me, for this specific run, and that's what I try to do, this is a long way of saying, depending on the marathon I'm running, I try to figure out where my pain points are and how I'm going to handle it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know since I ran New York last year, the Queensboro Bridge blew out my legs last year. So I have given myself permission. When I get to the base of that Queensboro Bridge, I'm walking up it. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I'll run down it and I'll keep on running, but I'm walking up that Queensboro Bridge. And there's another bridge, and I don't remember the name of it. It's the bridge that I think it's at mile 21. I'm walking up that one too, because that one was just, oh my God, it was a heartbreaker of a hill. So those two bridges, I know I'm not going to fight with my legs. I'm just going to walk those two bridges.
Gotcha. So a little bit more of like removing roadblocks, I guess, than
yes.
setting specific goals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not, I think that faster runners approach it differently. Do you know what I
Sure.
mean?
Sure.
I don't envision myself as a fast runner. I never have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was a time when I was chasing Boston. That time is gone. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's like, how can I get the best time I can with the road that's in front of me?
Sure. No, I like that. I think that's a healthy way to look at it too. And like we've been saying a couple of times, like it's your own journey, it's your own goals. So
Oh yeah.
you got to reset your expectations to what your goals and what your what your abilities are for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, cool. So I know that you're training for New York right now. That's what's coming up next, right? Couple of you're
Yeah.
headed into taper right now, so
Yeah.
getting pretty close. Over the years of running, like what are some lessons that you feel like you've learned that you continue to like change things and apply for each race that you have?
I am in a constant battle with my race nutrition. I don't, this is going to sound weird. I don't really like to eat. So eating before a race is hard. It's hard for me to get food down. And I've tried many different things, and I don't think I've ever landed on anything that worked. Like New York is going to be different, and Boston was the same way. It's like, you have to eat a breakfast, but then you have to bring something to the start village and you have to eat twice. And that's a struggle. I've gotten much better at fueling during running. It has been a long road of testing what does and doesn't work in the world of gels. And heat is another thing that's very hard to navigate. Running in the heat is, you know, it's tough for everyone, but for me, and you know, this is what happened in Miami. I hit a point where I can no longer process electrolytes, and then I'm like, I'm in trouble. You know what I mean? This is not good territory. So it's always about testing, and I would say nutrition all the way around has always been a struggle for me.
When you're talking about like trial and error, I know that's something that we talk about a lot. It's trial and error when it comes to gel. What are some of the things that you do? Do you do like buy into companies like the feed where you get a lot of different options and try a lot of different things, or how do you typically work through things?
I do. I test on my long runs all the time. Right now, I've got a whole bag of stuff over there. I'm swapping back and forth. I'm doing because what I think happens is I think you're. I used to do the Mortons, and I tested with the Mortons because Boston had Morton on the course. So I thought, well, if I need something else, or if I need another, I'll have already trained with it, right? So for a while, I was solid Morton girl. Never the caffeinated ones, though, just the regular ones. But somewhere along the line, that consistency started to like, it didn't work for me anymore. So I knew I had to find something different. So I've tested a lot, and I've landed on the Edge gels. I like those a lot because I like more of a liquidy consistency because it goes down really fast. Like
Me
Goos is
too.
too tacky and sticky and thick, and you really need water to get it down. And I don't like that. So I like the Edge, and the other one I like, I've the Huma gels.
Yeah, they're like chia seed or something,
They're
right?
chia seed, yeah. And those have been working well for me. So I've been like, I'll do a couple, I'll do the Huma before, like 30 minutes before the race. Then I'll do the Edge, like at mile 5, mile 10. Then I'll take a Huma at mile 15. And then mile 20 is always a struggle for me because mile 20 is where usually, if the wheels are coming off the wagon, it's there. If I can get my mile 20 gel down, then I know I'm in good shape. But if that gel, if I struggle with that one, I know the last 6 miles are going to be tough.
Yeah, I had the same problem. I feel like that's maybe something common because I've heard a couple people say that too about like fueling in the later miles. I try to train every block. I try to train fueling in the later miles, but it gets me every time. It's like mile 20 rolls around
What
and you're done.
do you do when your body doesn't want it? You know what I mean? I mean, your body needs it, but you don't want to put it in your mouth. You know what I mean? Like, what do you do?
Oh yeah, I know it's tough. I've tried a couple different things. I've tried to bring like different textures with me. So I'll have a gel and then I'll have a liquid gel and I'll have chews. And I'm like, at least I have options. If all else fails, if I can get one of these options down, I'll be okay. But it's always, yeah, it's tough in the late miles.
I remember the failures because I remember Chicago last time. I thought, oh, I'll bring pretzels. I had pretzels in a little Ziploc bag in a pocket. You know what I mean? And yes. I'll try those at mile 23. And I mean, I stuck those in my mouth and I was like, immediately no. Like I threw that bag away so fast. I was like, immediately no, 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 no. You know what I mean? And same with, I had a gel mile 19 in London. I blew up. And I remember just throwing that gel. I was like, I don't even want this. Like I wasn't mad. It's just, no, this is a no, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know when it doesn't work, it's just like, I throw it immediately. It's like,
for sure.
This must go now.
Yeah. Yeah. Your body does just like reject it. You're like, nope, that's it. That,
no,
nope,
it's can't a hard do that. Pass. Can't go there. I'm going to suffer for the last 6 miles and it's my own fault.
But this gel is worse.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. Well, that kind of led into some of the questions I like to ask in the end, which is about fuel and about shoes and things like that. So for fuel, you said your favorite is the UCAN, right? UCAN Edge is the
UCAN Edge. I'm sorry, yeah. I said Edge, but I mean UCAN. Yeah, I like the UCAN Edge, and I like the pineapple flavored, and I like the strawberry banana.
Cool. Yeah,
I like the mango Huma. That's a good one too.
Cool. Yeah, I like those options. And then for shoes, I know shoes are always so individual. I'm sure your shoe journey has changed so much over time, but what are some of your favorites
shoes,
right now?
Shoes, for the longest time, I was a Brooks Ghost girl. Like all I ran in. And there are so many shoes, right? And then I just got the Glycerin Max, the new Brooks Glycerin Max. I mean, primarily I like the Brooks, but the Glycerin Max, I ran a 5K in them a couple weekends ago, and they are so bouncy, and that it's so tall.
It's tall.
And you had them. I couldn't film while I was running because I thought I was going to fall off my shoes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was so foreign. I was like, oh my God. Like usually I film myself at the start line. We're ridiculous, right? So I film, I get the start line behind me. I'm in the Bucktown 5K. I thought I was going to fall off my shoes. So I was like, I'm going to put this away and concentrate on not falling off my shoes. So, those will not be a marathon shoe. The other shoes I've been testing are, have you heard of Mount to Coast?
I have seen ads for it. I haven't tried them myself or seen them in person at all.
They have been hitting the run community hard.
Yeah.
Believe in the Run gave them best new running shoe of the year or something like that. But they reached out to me and I had seen a couple other runners that I follow. There's Midnight Milo, who I think is training for a downhill marathon now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He ran in them and he liked them. And a couple other runners I know ran in them and they reached out to me and gave me a pair. And I mean, they were spectacular for me.
Really?
Like, I don't know if they just fit my foot or what, but I ran Berlin in them. And I was like, huh, these are nice. And then they sent me, that was their S1s. They sent me their R1s. And I just did my 15 in those today. I think I'm running New York in those. Mm-hmm. I'm always testing, but I would say Brooks and those Mount to Coast, the Mount to Coast S1s feel like the Brooks Ghost to me. I have a crazy narrow foot.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's what I was going to ask is what you could kind of compare it to, because I'm always a little weary about newer brands in the space that people haven't tested. But that if they're close to the Ghost, I love the Ghost. So I'd be willing to try.
I was shocked. They're super lightweight.
Yeah.
And you do not notice them on your feet. You know what I mean? And that's what I like. But I don't mean that in like a barefoot runner kind of way, because that's not my jam at all.
Yeah.
But I am not. I don't know a lot about carbon shoes, and I know they are the rage. I think those are for faster runners. I think if you're spending more time on the course, I think those carbon shoes are not good for you, you know? So I've never tested the carbons. So I can't speak to those, but I know they are the rage. And I may be wrong about the time on feet, but, you know, I'm looking at typically 5 hours on my feet, and I think a carbon shoe is not good for that. But
I've heard similar.
Positive. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard similar things. I've heard just like diminishing returns with being on your feet on carbon plated shoes after a certain period of time. So I'm sure that there's something
and I
in
can
there
hear
about that.
Those people around me that are wearing them that are my pace. It's like, I can hear them slapping on the ground and I'm like, God, that does not sound good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you're the same. I'm around the 5 hour marathon mark too, but I even feel like some of the shoes that are really rolly, even sometimes they don't have enough padding for me to sustain being on my feet for that amount of time, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, the cushy definitely matters when you're planning on being on your feet that long.
I've tested. I go to our run store Fleet Feet does a lot of stuff with shoe manufacturers, and they come out with the test, and you get to test them on a run. So I tested the Hyperion Max, and the cushiness on that shoe too just wasn't right for me. You know what I mean? And then I tested the is it Alta? The ALT?
Oh, Ultra, I think. With an A.
Ultra? Yeah, with an A.
Yeah.
Wow, that was not for me. Like, I feel like that's for someone who has a wider foot, but I could be wrong. I don't know. It was, I felt like a duck in them. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like,
little duck. So yeah, I like to go test though.
That's smart. Yeah. Going to these, like we have local Fleet Feet around here in North Carolina too. And they always do those shoe demos. I think definitely more people should take advantage of them, especially if you're not sure quite where you fit in the shoe space. It's like a massive world once you start to look into it. So.
Right. Because shoes are not cheap.
No.
You know,
yeah.
Like, running shoes are a lot of money. So you want to make sure you've got a good shoe and the right one for you, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It makes a tremendous difference when you're in the right pair of shoes on a marathon, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So Brooks and Mountain to Coast are the two that you've liked for shoes. That's awesome. And then my last question for you is just, I'm starting a new segment. You're my first one that I'm trying this out with. So appreciate you being my guinea pig here. But I asked my audience for a few questions that I can ask at the end to keep things a little bit more interesting, have a different question to ask guest over guest. And this week, the question is coming from Erin Runs a Marathon on Instagram. And she asks, what is your favorite and least favorite mile of your first marathon? And we talked a little bit before about this question. Maybe we could even tweak it to what's your first and least favorite mile of all of the marathons that you've ran? Because I'm sure it's pretty similar.
Oh, the first mile is... first mile, I'm always trying to calm myself down. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The first mile, I'm always just like... I don't freak out. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when I get into like miles 5 through 10, I feel good. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I can do this. I've done this before. I've been here before. But then when I get up around mile 19 to 22, I'm like, what have I done? Like, what? I am making bad choices. Those are the battle miles for me. Because once you get past mile 22, you've just got 23, 24, 25. You know what I mean? So I feel like mile 1 and mile 17 to 20. But in the middle of those, it's all good. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
For sure.
I always look for mile 22 and I sing the Taylor Swift song. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. And that always makes me feel better. And I tend to film mile 22. And that's what threw me in Berlin. They don't have mile markers. They just have kilometer markers. And that is that is bad. I did not like that at all. And that's the first marathon I've had that did that. And I was like, don't like that. Can't find mile 22. Don't get to film mile 22. You know what I'm saying? Not singing a Taylor Swift song. Like, that did not make me happy. So...
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be like trying to do math on the side or if I'd just be like, I can't even think about it.
I gave up completely. I was just like, I don't even know what's happening right now. I'm just keep running, you know, like just too many signs. I don't know what's happening. Yeah, no.
That's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot. Yeah.
So mile, you've said mile 1 and then mile like 17 to 20 somewhere in there. Those are the ones where we were struggling and then everything else is totally
those
fine.
Those are battle miles. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So during those miles, like, are you, you said that you sing a song in your head. Are you a headphone listener? Or do you listen to music?
That's what I do. I am a headphone listener, but, what I've started doing with majors is, and I told people do this with Chicago that we're coming into town. Don't listen for like the first 7 miles. I try to get to like mile 7 or mile 10 without headphones because it's the whole crowd experience. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you miss something, you know? And Chicago, when you start, you're running right down in the River North area and the crowds are just thick and they're screaming for you. So Berlin, London, New York. New York, I didn't put headphones until mile 10. London, I think I did mile seven. Berlin, I did mile 7. I needed it in Berlin. But I try to do those first 7 miles without headphones.
Yeah, you got to take it in. I mean, you're there for the experience. If you're blocking exactly. it out, you could miss the whole thing.
But I mean, for Berlin, when I start struggling, I try to put good songs on. I put Chapel Roan on in Berlin, Feminine Nomenon. Like, that is crazy good. And that one couldn't even get me moving. I was like, come on, it's Chapel Roan. I got this, you know. But I mean, I just did not want to pick up my legs. I got it done. But yeah, I try to listen to songs and I try to be very, I try to be very tactical with what songs I'm picking. You know what I mean? Like this today, I don't know if your TikTok blew up like mine, but Dancing Through Life, Fiero from Wicked. Have you seen that everywhere? Jonathan Bailey. Wicked is coming out like in November.
Yeah.
So my feed just got inundated with the new Wicked cast and soundtrack.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to go listen to Wicked. And I listened to Wicked for like a solid hour on my run today. And that soundtrack is fantastic to run to. So it just depends, because I'm a Broadway geek too. So I like a good Broadway soundtrack to run to, or I like, you know, Taylor Swift, Chapel Roan, you know what I mean? Like, just something that's got a good beat that's going to let me zone out enough to not think about my legs.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I'm very strategic with my songs.
Yeah. Like, strategic is the word I was looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then Wicked started to break my heart a little bit, because I'm like, oh, this is such a sad music. So then I had to get out of Wicked, because I was just like, I can't anymore. Like, you know, I don't want to ruin it for anyone, but I know what happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, the sad music is when I start to pretend I'm in a music video. That's when we just shift the vibes a little bit. We're now in a dramatic scene and we're running away. You know what I mean?
Running away. Exactly. Yes.
So fun. Well, cool. Well, thanks again for walking through your whole story. I guess my last question for you, we know what's coming up next. We know New York is coming up next. I'm super excited to see that all come to fruition for you. But last question is just, if you could offer any advice to somebody that's maybe thinking about running their first marathon right now, or is in training for their first marathon, what's some advice that you would offer someone like that?
If you're thinking about running your first marathon, I would say sign up, because signing up is, it's like the push, you know what I'm saying? Like, then you get to plan and do all the training and just figure it out. But no one's ever ready when they sign up for their first marathon, right? Because you don't even know what ready looks like. So I would say sign up. And sign up for a race that caught your eye. Like, do you follow Sal? He just ran the Kansas City
Oh,
marathon?
Yes, I do.
And, I mean, he runs so many other marathons. Do you know what I mean? So don't feel like you have to do the big major. There are so many marathons, right? And the other thing that's on my radar is the Disney marathons. When I finish the 6, I'm going to try to do a Disney marathon, because those look next level fun. But look at marathons on TikTok or Instagram and see which one looks fun to you. Do you know what I'm saying? And then just sign up and then figure out the rest. You just put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because that's the scary part in the beginning, is you think that I'm going to go from 0 to 26.2 in a day, but it's, you work your way into it.
No,
that's what you're training
for. You're not ready. No one's ready when they sign up, right? Yeah. So I would say sign up.
No, that's great. I love that. Well, cool. Well, excited to see everything that comes up in the next couple of weeks for New York. But if anybody, it's so soon. You're in taper, so you're right there. But if anyone wants to follow along with you, where can they find you?
Oh, I'm my handle is at Cynthia J. Wheeler on TikTok and Instagram, and that's primarily where I am. I play both those channels. I probably post a little more on TikTok, just because I don't know why I do. But I'm on both channels, Cynthia J. Wheeler. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, follow along. You have great content, so I'm a little partial, but definitely go follow. I'll link in the show notes for sure. But thank you again for
thank
coming
you,
on.
Thank
It was
you.
Awesome getting to know you.
Thanks. I really appreciate you having me on the show. It was great.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode. If you're enjoying My First Marathon, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review the show. And if you or someone you know has ran a marathon and would like to share your story, I have a guest form to fill out in my bio on Instagram. That username is @MyFirstMarathonPod. See you on the next one.